Good evening. Welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha. And happy 4th of July tomorrow. Another holiday to remember. And what holiday is that? Well, freedom. Freedom from England. And remembering and reflecting on things that have happened in the past is healthy, just so we don't get stuck in it. And what has happened as a result of our freedom from England was there was a lot of suffering. And the suffering, of course, continues, and now it seems like we are even more than ever divided. But all my teachers from a variety of traditions, they have traditionally said or consistently said over and over again, the most effective work one can do for the whole planet as well as for yourself is to work on yourself. Now that kind of blows the rational mind, but as we begin to see the nature of the mind, we begin to say, yeah, that's a possibility. So we're working on ourselves. What for what reason? Well, to find the truth, to find hopefully what we're all about, our true selves. And, of course, that's no small task, and it seems like the Yellow Dogs we're working as a group, and we're certainly working as individuals, putting more, and this is the word of the night, more interdependence with the celebration of the 4th of July, Independence Day. And we know we live in a dualistic environment that enables us to do that. We are interdependent regardless of whether we want to recognize it or not. And that wisdom is important when we celebrate something like Independence Day. Thich Nhat Hanh says everything depends on its existence and well-being on everything else. So we know that. We know we're connected. And that interconnection, that's important for us to know. I know when we're quiet and still, we experience that deep connection with it all. And Jeff Kresno, an author, said, while patriotism has, over the past decade, too often donned the mask of naturalism and reek of xenophobia, true patriotism is about sacrifice. We're doing your share such that a child that we don't even know might have clean air and water, a good education, and decent health care. So happy Independence Day. And thank you for supporting that effort of the deep wisdom that we are interdependent on one another. And so here we are tonight. What are we doing? We're listening to teachings that can enable us to connect to all human beings. And we're doing it by practicing insight meditation. And listening to the teachings tonight, what we've been focused on, of course, is the four foundations of mindfulness. What can take us there when we're quiet and still? And so we study, we retrain, and we begin to see what the teachings say about mindfulness of the body, our mindfulness of sensations that morph into feelings, that can morph into emotions, mindfulness of the mind, which causes probably most of our suffering because we don't understand its true nature. And then tonight, going into the fourth, mindfulness of mind states. Studying, again, we're studying ourselves. That's all we're doing. We're just looking at ourselves closely in an open, compassionate way. And in studying the mind states, it's just another path towards that end. And we can begin to shift from unhealthy mind states to healthy ones. It happens. And the Buddha said, whatever a person frequently thinks and reflects on, that will become the inclination of the mind. Let me read it again, because that's profound. What a person frequently thinks and reflects on, that will become the inclination of their mind. So is it important for us to know what the mind's doing and what it's all about? So whatever we regularly think colors our experience all day, every day. And so we begin to see this because we're following a process that works. We start to watch the thoughts. And this happens when we are still and quiet. And we discover that most of our thinking are reruns. Have you noticed that? Reruns. And then others are about problems, preferences, self-evaluation. We see how our life is shaped and determined by our thoughts. So that's why we practice mindfulness of the mind along with the body, feelings, and mind states. It wakes us up. And it wakes us up to what? It wakes us up to ourselves. Mark Twain puts it like this. My life has been filled with terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened. Is that not true? So when we become mindful of fearful thoughts, we see that fear is just a story. It's just a thought, like all thoughts that arise and fall away. We don't take ownership. We don't know from where they come, and we don't know from where they go. And it's beside the point. We don't have to dwell on that so much. But fear and some of these other emotions that trapped us, there's a story that goes with it. And that's what we want to see. What are these stories? And for every thought, there is a bodily sensation. So again, when we're in touch with our bodies, it's just going to support that effort. All of these four foundations of mindfulness will take us there. But the Buddha says you can just take any one of them. We don't have to dive into all four of them. He says any one of them that we can dive into as deep as we can go will take us there. So we begin to see the stories, the mind states, and then we begin to inquire to ourselves, is it true? First, you have to recognize it. And in recognizing it, then, you know, there's that step of, why am I saying this to myself? From where does this come? Anything from the past? But just knowing them is a huge step, but it's not enough. It doesn't help. So these thought patterns can be so repetitive and persistent, don't have to tell you that, that they do color our consciousness so deeply that we're tormented by them. And guess what? We torment others by them too. And are not able to see the distortion. And so this is when we need, quite deliberately, to look at these thoughts, not to make ourselves more miserable with having more thoughts about the thoughts, but actually to see them in a very compassionate way so we know what we're dealing with. Because we can replace them. And skillful patterns of mind can be dropped, released. They can shift. We can shift with it. And this is not your positive thinking where you think of something good. And it's not positive thinking at all. It's defined. And when we look at these thoughts, we begin to see from the teachings the thoughts that are unhealthy are under three categories. Always. Greed, hatred, and ignorance. Not knowing. And then the mind states that we happen to have or we want to have can be aligned with love, generosity, and mindfulness. So that's where we're going. And the understanding of these as simply unskillful mind states means that we can do something about them. As opposed to saying, well, that's just how I am. Have you heard that before? Well, that's just how I am. Well, you're neurotic as well as the rest of us. And there's no hope when you have that kind of mind state. Because we know possibilities, opening to possibilities is what allows the truth to come within. And if we have a mind state that stops those possibilities, we're not going anywhere. But repeating. So Buddha was actually the first cognitive behavioral therapist. And behavioral therapy changed the behavior. And then everything else will fall into place. Okay, I want to do that. I want to change my behaviors. Have you ever just tried? Just tried with no other tools to change a behavior? It's not an easy thing. Why? Well, at least this lifetime, but probably many lifetimes before, you know, we carry all this stuff with us wherever we go. So cognitive therapy, psychoanalysis, focus on family history and the unconscious. It's very helpful. I've told you before, I just found myself a wonderful therapist. And it helps. It supports this 40 years of effort in learning insight meditation. But Buddhist psychology, Buddha Dharma, looks at what is happening here and now. What is happening in the present moment, where we can consciously see clearly how we're living our lives, what thoughts are arising and falling away. Then we have say-so. Then we're not trapped. We're not trapped in the behaviors that enable those kinds of things to continue. We quite naturally develop a pause, a sacred pause. So instead of just automatically reacting, that pause, of course, as you well know, enables us to respond. And that's where the shifts begin. We begin shifting because we can pause and say, do I want to go down in that hole again? Do I want to die in that ditch again? So, between the two, psychotherapy and Buddhist psychology, there's a considerably overlap between Eastern psychology and cognitive theory. Buddhist training does more than offer purely rational replacement of inaccurate thought patterns. We call this Buddhist approach behaviorism with heart. Oh my, we begin to rely more on the awareness of the entire body and the heart, and we begin to see quite directly that the mind doesn't have to be in charge of the whole mind and body. It's not a good thing. If it is, it sends us straight to hell or hellish. So, behaviorism with heart, it enlists the power of a larger benevolent intention. We begin by using mindfulness to just identify the patterns of thought that leads to our suffering. Now that sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, it is simple, but we also know it's not easy. And so these thoughts of unworthiness, jealousy, hatred, revenge, anxiety, clinging, greed, they're in all of us. And absolutely nothing's wrong with any of them. Okay, so we can't push them out or stuff them. We just get sicker. So we get to know them. And the key is knowing them and accepting and letting them be. So we're not pushing anything away. We are bringing everything in. And that takes a lot of courage to do that. Then out of compassion, we change what is in our minds. And little by little, and I can tell you it's happened to me over the last 40 years, happiness builds. You have to see for yourself. We transform our thoughts to more kindness for ourselves and others. And we're retraining our minds to require steady, patient effort, daily practice. So the power to transform our mental conditioning is now scientifically documented by modern neuroscience discovery of neuroplasticity. Thank you. So you know what it is. So which shows how our brains can be retrained and reshaped at any age. Isn't that good news for old age? That is good news for old age. We don't have to give up. So, like its Western cognitive counterparts, Buddhist training teaches us to look at the thought distortions that create our suffering. They're just not true. And we can begin to see that distorted thoughts based on self-hatred, aggression, revenge, greed, it doesn't help any of us. And they do not serve any of us. And we can actually see experientially how these types of thoughts impact us. And remember, every thought has a bodily sensation. So how important is the body? For every thought we have a bodily sensation. Now, if we're in tune to all of that, it puts us much more in a place where we can respond. Instead of, I don't know about you, but I get tired of my behaviors. Those behaviors that don't support anybody or me. You know, don't you get sick of your behaviors? And it is. It's like, darn, I thought that behavior was, you know, had been cooked. But they slip in. You know, and there has to be a process of absolute surrendering to it that enables that to happen. So because we practice mindfulness of the body, we actually learn to pay attention or notice these sensations, and especially the ones that cause suffering. I've told you before, now, and this doesn't happen all the time, but throughout the day, the sensitivity to my body, I begin to feel the tenseness or the pushing away when I have to do the wash or I have to hang up the clothes. Or I have to do all the daily tasks that we ignore. They have to be brought in because nothing is more important than anything else. Present moment living doesn't just discriminate. Present moment living is with it all. Whole enchilada. So, Achan Cha says, whatever the mind tells you, just don't fall for it. It's only a deception. Whatever negative comments and views it offers, just say, that's not my business. Every time, and let it go. That's on Achan Cha. A Thai monk from years ago. So thank you, friends, for being good listeners, and we'll open it to you. Brandy's going to come over and support the effort.